For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl. There will not be a Great Lakes Folk Festival this summer in East Lansing. The MSU Museum has been the lead organizer of the festival. I spoke with Museum Director Mark Auslander about the decision, which is facing criticism from the local folk music community.
We became aware in a gradual process, talking with our friends in city government in East Lansing, friends on the Arts Commission, many other community folks and so forth, as well as members of the business community, that there were going to be some challenges this summer, especially with downtown construction, which poses questions about parking, access, convenience, access to electrical power, and so forth. So in talking it over with our friends in the city, we realized this was a good year to take a one-year hiatus. It's an idea we've been thinking about for a while, to do a kind of re-envisioning and reimagining how to make the festival stronger. There's a lot of deep affection for the festival, but also many people have come to talk to us about their hopes that the festival could grow and evolve in new directions. So seemed like a good opportunity, take a little pause, work very closely together with the city, with the Arts Commission, with the business community, and all those folks concerned about integrating cultural and economic development to move forward. And we needed some time. When you're just in the middle constantly of planning and executing a festival, there's very little time to reflect. And our goal, you know, is not just to look at the arts and culture scene for 1 year, but to really look ahead 10, 20 years to a very dynamic and deeply sustainable arts and culture scene in Greater Lansing. That's our shared goal.
I had an exchange with East Lansing Mayor Mark Meadows about the art festival to see if maybe that was under consideration, too, because of the construction in downtown East Lansing. He says the art festival will be moving because of the construction to Bailey Park. Was there any consideration given to locating the folk festival elsewhere in the city?
We certainly were looking at other possible venues, kind of moving things a little bit further east, but we still faced a lot of challenges. And also, it was a combination of the technical and logistical challenges and the fact that we felt, so many of us, that we needed to all come together and have and expand the circle of participation. One of the things we know about the Great Lakes Folk Festival, and this has something to do with the genre of folk, is that the demography and the genre of folks who tend to come to it are not as diverse as we would like. It's a well-known phenomenon that folk festivals and cultural festivals, I've been involved in them my whole career, often have a very diverse group of performers, and that's often not reflected in the audience. We know from many other places that have diversified their audience, expanded that circle of ownership, is that people need a process. They need a sense of buy-in. And for a long time, we know this was a little bit top-down. The museum came in and did a lot. It occupied a quarter of our staff's time, essentially, over the course of the year. And that is not a great model. It's not a great model for a museum and a land-grant institution that needs to serve a very wide, diverse community. It's not a great model for a city that prides itself on being a city of the arts and wants as many people as possible involved in decision making. So we're going to take a pause, think about new and creative ways. We're going to have listening sessions in community centers and schools, in parks and so forth, often stimulated by new and we hope edgy art. That's what everybody says to us. Come up with something that's surprising, unexpected. That's what art's supposed to be. There are times when, we all love the folk festival. It's kind of like an old shoe. But we know that art, by definition, has to move forward. It has to be shocking and outrageous and turn everybody's views of things upside down. And to do that right and to make sure we're doing these kinds of great cultural happenings and performances, as I say, a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades in the future, so that the little kids that are running around now, who are going to be running the festival, we hope in the a few decades down the road, that's only going to happen if they and their elders are dazzled and surprised by something we haven't even dreamed up. So that's what we need that listening process for. We think it's a great opportunity. It's exciting. It's always hard to change. But we at the museum think this is a fantastic opportunity, and so do our partners in the city.
Considering the logistical challenges, had you decided to proceed this year, I wonder if there was any consideration given to running the festival maybe a little smaller this year until perhaps the opportunity to get it back to its former stature, mm-hmm. perhaps another year down the road. Was that given consideration?
Sure. You know, we've been exploring all sorts of interesting possibilities. There is a problem, you know, with given that there's been declining attendance in the past, to put on a much smaller festival. You know, this is something arts administrators spend a lot of time thinking about, perception. We're trying to tell a story, which we think is a true story, that East Lansing, although it's undergoing construction and so forth, is going to come out a stronger and more vibrant community. Doing something smaller and not as strong as we would like, at the end of the day, didn't seem as attractive as the idea of getting together, really moving and doing something following on that was super exciting, dynamic, was going to get statewide and maybe even national attention.
Were there contractual obligations regarding musicians who had already been under contract to be here this year, anything like that that was an obstacle to deciding to pause for a year?
No, not at all. You know, if we were looking April and May, that's when contracts tend to go out, both contracts between the university and the city and contracts with performers. I know there's been some funny reports that there were contracts or agreements, but no, nothing like that at all. Especially at a university, everything is very centralized going through purchasing, and so it does take a while to get through the bureaucracy. That's what really one reason that we thought, well, if we're going to slow things down, put the brakes on for 1 year, let's get that done during the month of March before any kind of contractual entanglements emerge. That's only fair to the performers and the agencies we're working with.
Looking ahead to 2019, 0% chance it's back, 100% chance it's back. What would you say?
Well, you know, I think reimagination means there can be all sorts of forms. What I, you know, think we should explore, and this is a conversation we've had a lot of folks, is that maybe leadership should change. Right now, it's really been run out of the museum. It's been paid for largely by the museum or the university one way or another. So another possibility is the idea of some kind of cooperative partnership with a lot of different people taking responsibility for shared governance, for different kinds of fundraising. That's certainly what many of our major donors are emphasizing. They would feel more comfortable, and that's true for our the folks of the private sector. They like to see more buy-in. So that doesn't necessarily tell us about the shape of what a festival or an arts happening looks like, but it does tell us something about the process. And for me, at the end of the day, so much of this comes down to process. If everybody involved feels they've done the hard work of listening and thinking, working together, getting to know our neighbors, we come up with a much better result in 2019 and 2020 and beyond. So I'm actually positive, and I think the mayor is too. We're going to come out of this at the other end a lot more positive, working together on a really great happening.
One final question. The online response from the local folk music community is not positive today. What is your message to the folk music community?
Well, you know, it's funny. So there was an online article that went out that was full of inaccuracies, just a little shocking, sort of implying that the whole thing was being wound down, and also implying that there was funding that was available for this. And you know, we are all facing, on both sides of Grand River, enormous budgetary constraints. And when you run an arts and culture organization these days, every minute you're making terribly tough choices. So it's not like we had funding at this point. But we do want to assure all of our friends in, especially in the traditional music community, that we are deeply committed to those kinds of performances, to storytelling. It's not just the fiddling, as wonderful as that is. And we would expect that also during this listening process, we would see a great way for the traditional music community as well as the new music community to come together in unexpected ways. We've sort of been imagining that for every community conversation we have, we'll kick something off with a performance of some sort. It might be anything from storytelling to, as I say, or puppet theater to some unexpected combination of ukulele and electronic music. I mean, anything that works, see what people think of it, and that's usually what pushes these conversations forward. So there's actually, we think there's going to be more music happening in public space over the next few months in downtown East Lansing and around town than just those 3 days in August that we all love.
Mark Auslander is director of the MSU Museum. Thank you.
Thanks. It was great talking.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.